and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here with Carrie Havronik, a food writer from Easton and author of a new book, Tasting Pennsylvania, Favorite Recipes from the Keystone State. Carrie, thank you for joining us here at WDIY.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Let's jump right in and talk about the book. Where did the idea for the book originate? Was it something that was simmering or braising for a while?
Yeah.
Or
nice.
a little food humor here.
Well, yeah, no, bring it on. It's all good. I think it kind of came out of nowhere. I got lucky with this one, but I had been doing a lot of work kind of behind the scenes that prepared me to actually write the book. I had been kind of immersed in the food scene in Lehigh Valley for a while. I've been writing for Lehigh Valley Style for years, and I had done a lot of work with Edible Philly, and I think, you know, that really prepared me. A friend of mine in the culinary community had written a book called Tasting Kentucky, and she said, "Hey, my publisher needs people to do Ohio and Pennsylvania," and she mentioned some others, and I was like, "Well, hey,
I'm in Pennsylvania."
Exactly. So she connected me to her editor, and we talked about it, and I was pretty well prepared for the project. So it was a long simmer, I guess. If you want to, that would be the short answer.
Got it. Okay. Now, how would you characterize Pennsylvania cooking compared to other parts of this country?
Well, I think it's a mishmash like lots of other places are. It's showing lots of signs of the people who are coming to the state and moving here. It's showing the changings of the times. But I would also say there's still a pretty traditional, there's still a pretty strong traditional streak. So you're still going to find recipes in this book that reflect German heritage and, you know, Italian heritage and Irish heritage and things like that. So, but I like to kind of go out on a limb and talk about Pennsylvania as the California of the East Coast. I know that sounds a little wacko. We're never going to have lemons and avocados. However, we have a rich agricultural history that I feel we need to celebrate and honor.
And how about within Pennsylvania itself? Is there variation between East and West or urban and rural areas? What did you find as you were putting the book together?
I would say definitely variations from between the urban and rural and East and West. You know, when we were talking earlier, you mentioned something about Pennsylvania being in this unique geographical spot where we're close to the Northeast and New England, but we're also kind of in the middle between that and also the Mid-Atlantic area and then the South, like parts of New Jersey are south of the Mason-Dixon line.
So kind of crawl into the Midwest, too,
right? And we're, you know, the western part of the state is the gateway to the Midwest. There are definitely some differences. You know, I would say the western part of the state has this thing called the wedding table cookies, and it's a tradition where people make cookies month and months in advance of a wedding, and they freeze what they can, and it's this beautiful bounty. And so I have some of those cookbooks, some of those recipes in the cookbook. And, you know, the cities are always going to have the more progressive, adventurous, or I would say, I don't want to say cutting edge because that's not really what I'm after. But they're always going to be the restaurants that are pushing the envelope for various reasons. So we do definitely have lots of James Beard winning chefs in this book from Philly and Pittsburgh. So that's kind of cool, too.
Now, are there a couple of recipes in here that you think really kind of typify the either Pennsylvania style or Pennsylvania foodways and things like that?
Yeah, I think if you were to look at the Pennsylvania mushroom ramen recipe from Leach's Mar, from Mr. Lee's and Belit and Silver Shell, I think you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. You'll see farm fresh ingredients. You'll see mushrooms, which we grow in abundance, millions of them a year.
Right.
They get shipped everywhere. Thank you, Kennett Square and elsewhere. But then you'll also see this. You'll see it implemented in maybe a style of a dish you wouldn't necessarily associate with Pennsylvania, which is ramen. So you've got this ultimate hybrid of like a food that's really hot and kind of trendy. I mean, I don't know if it's like still at this point, but people still love it. It's incredibly soothing and warming on a blustery day like today. But it kind of meets all of those criteria, I'd say.
Exactly. So you mentioned Chef Chismar. How else is the Lehigh Valley represented in the book?
Oh, we've got a lot of people who decided to come to the table for this. We've got some recipes from Apollo Grill. We've got recipes from Chef Dom Mimo over at the Mint. Where else? Savory Grill. We have an amazing breakfast dish from Cafe Santosha out in Trexler Town that I just adore. It's called an Indian breakfast bowl. It's so delicious.
They make great food out
there. Oh my gosh, it's so good. It's so good. So there's that, and then there's also Two Rivers. I know that there's people I'm forgetting, and I apologize. There's, what else? Third and Ferry. Drawing a blank, but there's a lot. Definitely a lot. Yeah,
it's great to know the Valley's represented so heavily in a book that is about Pennsylvania. I know you're down in Philly and out in Pittsburgh and everything like that, and I think it just goes to show how far this food scene has come here in the region.
Agreed. I totally agree. I've lived here about 20 years, which is kind of crazy, but it's true, and I've been doing this column for Lehigh Valley Style for about 10. And I would say even in the last 5 years, there's just been a tremendous explosion in the consciousness of food and people shopping at farmers markets and, you know, all of those things. You know, of course, we can thank Food Network to some extent for that. But I also think food has just been so much more at the forefront of our national conversation that it's kind of inevitable that that happened. So.
Well, that's one of the reasons this show came to be. We've just seen the evolution in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, and we wanted to bring everything to light. And so where do you see this going the next 5 or 10 years? Are we going to become even more cosmopolitan, like, you know, like Philly and New York and other major areas? Or are we kind of at a saturation point, do you think?
I don't know. I feel like we're a little bit stuck. Maybe not stuck's not the right word, but we're at a little bit of a homeostasis. There's more restaurants that are still opening, but they're their novelty or wow factor, I think, is getting harder to it's harder for them to have that kind of impact if that's what they're going for, unless you have to keep like upping the ante if you're going for like dinner as theater or a beautiful setting or something. Like, we've seen a lot of those things. And we certainly have lots of places where we can eat, where we have great views. You know, if you think about the Dime or Top Cut or even Zest here in Southside. But there's also, I think there's so much room when you think about all the cuisines that are not represented. You know, I'm dying for someone to open a hybrid, like, Middle Eastern restaurant that has, like, Greek and Lebanese and, I don't know, you name it. I mean, they do well in other cities with large populations, but we could totally eat that here and people would love that. So that's one of the things that I was pushed for. So there's still a lot left to explore. Maybe not in fine dining, or maybe so. We'll see, but there's definitely room.
I would agree with you
on
that one as well. I think there's also an opportunity for even maybe nichier restaurants. I know talking with my daughter who was in Brooklyn, and she went to a vegan Mexican place.
Yes.
So it's not just vegan, but it's vegan with real strong Mexican influence.
Yeah. I mean, the sky's the limit.
Exactly.
Especially as people get, you know, more kind of nuanced in their diets and more curious, you need that.
So let's talk a little bit more about your background, about what brought you to this point with the food writing and the book. I mean, how long have you been interested in food other than just enjoying it?
Okay. So, I mean, I've always been interested in food. I grew up learning how to bake, you know, from my mother. She always cooked. And so that was, I would say, the gateway was really probably baking. That was my gateway into the kitchen. But I had been doing a lot of travel writing, and I had been doing some work with Fromers for a long time. As a long-term kind of contributor, and I contributed to one of their guides, Philadelphia and Amish Country, which is another thing that kind of, in retrospect, provided me for what I did with this book. And so I think, you know, it kind of grew out of the travel stuff, because when you travel, obviously you're eating different foods and things like that. And so that was what piqued my interest. And then I started doing this column for Style. I started doing more food writing. I started working with Dave Joachim, who's a amazing local cookbook author who is an amazing person to learn from. Every time I would work in his kitchen with him, I'd learn about 12 things and I'd go home like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened. So that was kind of a crash course in the back end of cookbook production, because I helped him test recipes for a couple of his books with the Vetri family in Philly. So that's kind of how that started. And then I'd been doing lots of volunteering with the Easton Farmers Market. So it all kind of just came together.
And so really no, you know, quote unquote traditional professional training?
No, yeah. Just lots of watching and reading and reading. And I watched a lot of Nigella Lawson when I first started cooking. I was like, yes, I want to be that person standing at the fridge in the middle of the night, you know, eating something, you know, with my robe on, whatever. But no, I mean, she's very real, and I like to just kind of keep it real. And you know, not everybody is professional, but in terms of their training, but that doesn't mean that you can't make a good meal. And most people just want to get dinner on the table.
Definitely, definitely.
So, you know, that's part of it. So for a while, I was working with this company called Simply Recipes, and, you know, it's geared towards the home cook. So, and that's most people.
And you just did a dinner, at the Easton Public Market, right?
We did.
Tell me about what that was all about.
That was a whole lot of fun. So we initially planned this in September and then realized that was a bad time. So Megan McBride decided to change it to January. And so we had a full house, 24 people. We took one item from the cookbook once I realized that the other participants' recipes in the cookbook were either all soups or scrapple. We didn't really think that people would want to come and have a soup dinner. So we decided to start with the mushroom ramen from Mr. Lee's. And then I basically just said to Jeremy and Mike and the folks at Dunder and Heister, look, let's come up with something awesome that kind of spins off this. That's wintry, that celebrates Pennsylvania. So that's what we did. And we had tastings from Shawnee Craft Brewery because they're also in the book. And so we had, you know, pierogies and we had scallops and we had short ribs. And then I made funny cake, which is funny. So.
Well, definitely tasting Pennsylvania right here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
right?
A little bit of everything. And I'm sure we're going to do this again because people loved it. They had a great time. And it kind of blew up a bit on social media. And people were asking, are you going to do this again? Are you going to do this again? So the answer is yes. Stay tuned to the Public Market website. I'm sure we will do it again once the weather breaks and we've got, you know, new farm fresh stuff to work with.
Well, that's one of the things about Pennsylvania. You have the seasons, you have,
it's lovely.
I mean, the seasons everywhere, but certainly the what might be available at the farm and how that could be represented in the book and dinner.
Yeah, it should be really fun. I mean, a lot of my favorite recipes are summer recipes, and I'm just not going to make something with tomatoes in January. I'm sorry, I can't do it.
Well, I don't blame you, Carrie. So, hey,
nobody likes pale pink January tomatoes.
Well, we'll end on that note. So, Carrie, thanks for joining us here at WDIY and sharing your perspective on the food scene.
Thank you.
I'm Mike Dravenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.